98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Three dead after a shooting in Kentucky. We have the story.
Search efforts continue after the Texas flood. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. A man is dead after an apparent hit-and-run incident in West Wichita over the weekend. That story is ahead.
A Kentucky state trooper was shot Sunday before the suspect fled to a church in a stolen car and opened fire on the congregation. Lexington Police Chief Lawrence Weathers says officers were able to keep their eyes on the shooter as he fled.
With the assistance of the department's air support unit and real-time intelligence center, officers were able to track the vehicle to the Richmond Road Baptist Church.
Suspect was shot and killed after killing two people at the church.
A new round of flash floods tearing through central Texas, triggering dozens of rescues, the death toll now 132 people. Emergency crews resumed some recovery efforts yesterday afternoon after heavy rain brought renewed flood threats to Kerr County, temporarily halting operations in a region still reeling from the July 4th flash floods when the Guadalupe River burst its banks.
A 41-year-old man is dead in an apparent hit-and-run incident.
It happened around 12:45 a.m. Saturday. Wichita police responded to a call at Kellogg and Tyler and found the man on the eastbound on-ramp to Kellogg Drive from Tyler Road. He had significant injuries to his head and was pronounced dead on the scene. Police believe the man was struck by a vehicle, which then fled the area. Police encourage anyone with information to contact detectives at 316-350-3672 or submit an anonymous tip through Crime Stoppers at 316-267-2111. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
One man was killed, two others injured when a car crashed into an electrical pole Saturday in El Dorado. First responders called to the intersection of Taylor and Locust. Only one vehicle was involved in this accident. Three people were inside that car when it hit a utility pole. 61-year-old man dead at the scene. His name has not been released.
We'll get our first look at the city of Wichita's 2026 budget Tuesday.
The certified budget is projected to be just over $1 billion next year. This will be the first of four opportunities for the public to comment on the budget. The City Council will also discuss funding for reconstructing the 29th Street North and Broadway intersection. The Council will also consider whether the Crown Uptown Dinner Theater should be placed on the city's historical registry. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
KNSS News time now, 7:03, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Dramatic finish up at Kauffman Stadium yesterday afternoon. We've got highlights coming up in sports.
The one-year anniversary of the assassination attempt at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News time now, 7:06. 6 minutes past 7 o'clock here on a Monday morning, July 14th. 21 new officers were sworn in Friday after graduating from the Wichita Police Academy. Police Chief Joseph Sullivan says another class with 41 candidates is set to begin on July 31st.
The number 41 is a number that this department hasn't seen in quite a long time. But I think it's a testament to the fact that Wichita police officers are well-trained and they're well-compensated. And I think there's a lot of excitement around the department right now.
That class is set to graduate in January, then will bring the department within 15 to 20 remaining positions to be filled.
High-ranking United States senators are hinting at what they feel will be a turning point in the war between Ukraine and Russia.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says a bipartisan sledgehammer that Congress could pass may mean leverage for President Trump to stop the war in Ukraine.
To impose 500% tariff on any country that helps Russia and props up Putin's war machine. He can dial it up or down.
While some Democrats question giving the president that leeway, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal said an arrangement would be made.
That give the president the ability to act in the national security, but also provide congressional oversight.
Both were on CBS Face the Nation and also plan to attend a dinner with NATO's Secretary General later tonight. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Buckingham Palace has revealed details of President Donald Trump's state visit to the United Kingdom.
No U.S. president has ever been invited for a second state visit to the U.K., that is, until now. The historic trip will take place between September 17th and 19th. King Charles and Queen Camilla will host President Trump and the First Lady at Windsor Castle to the west of London. Buckingham Palace is undergoing renovations. The invitation, made by the King on the advice of the government, is being seen as part of Prime Minister Keir Starmer's attempt to foster close relations with the White House. Queen Elizabeth hosted the previous state visit in 2019. In London, Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
On the one-year anniversary of the assassination attempt at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, President Donald Trump told reporters at Joint Base Andrews that he credits his survival to divine intervention.
God was protecting me. Maybe because God wanted to see our country do better or do really well, make America great again, but God was protecting me.
The Government Accountability Office published a report last week confirming the Secret Service's security failures. In the aftermath, several agents were suspended without pay or benefits, but not fired.
KNSS News Time now, 7:09, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic volumes continue to pick up out there, and we're starting to see some heavier traffic. This is northbound, or watch out for a stalled out vehicle, northbound I-135, and it's between Harry and Lincoln. You'll also want to watch out in the Spirit Aero Systems area. We've actually had a report of one of the Spirit gates. There's an incident and an ambulance is headed towards one of the Spirit gates down there. So just be aware that could be causing a bit of a slowdown as well. Traffic update, 98.7 at 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, happy Monday to you, Steve and Ted. Hope you guys are having a great morning so far.
Yeah, it's beautiful,
oh,
huh?
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had some nice rain over the weekend. Actually ended up with about just shy of a half of an inch officially. And boy, anytime you get rain in mid-July, you got to be thankful for that. And, you know, one area that continues to get a lot of rain is down there just west of Austin. We keep hearing about the hill country and the heavy rain and the flooding. Well, once again, this morning, they've got slow-moving thunderstorms, and they've been dealing with more flash flood warnings over the past 12, 18 hours or so. So we'll be thinking about them as they're continuing to struggle against this flooding concern. Meanwhile, here in Kansas, we've got some beautiful weather coming up today and again tomorrow. Our next best chance for some thunderstorms that would impact the area will likely be coming up as we head into Thursday. There's another cold front that's going to drop into the area and likely stall out and lead to some chances of showers and thunderstorms again during the middle of the week. And temperatures, not bad. You know, the average high is low 90s, and we're going to be seasonal today, again tomorrow, and heading into Wednesday, too. We'll reach a high near 90 today, mostly sunny light winds. Tonight's low around 70 degrees, up to 92 tomorrow, and Wednesday's high at 93. We're at 70 degrees right now in Wichita. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
Seeing some of the video this morning and the floodwaters down there, the brown water just, it's wide and you can tell it moving fast. It's
Yeah, and it just takes out everything that even gets close. It's really, it's just unfortunate.
They've still got a lot of bodies out there. They're not making much progress in finding them, but I guess I'll just have to wait till all the water goes down. Is that something?
Yeah, I mean, that heavy rainfall this morning, it's kind of weird because it stretches from, you know, north of Austin, and then you get back to the west of San Antonio, and that stuff is just stuck right there. And I was a little surprised to see the drought map, too, lately. Still has quite a bit of areas around the Austin location that are in drought. There's just too much rain all at one time, and it doesn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. All right, and thank you, sir. We'll check with you again tomorrow morning. That's the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Ross Jansen. It's coming up on 7:12 now, Steve, at 10 in the morning here on KNSS on this Monday, July 14th. And a birthday today, the late Gerald Ford, President of the United States. It was his birthday on the 14th. He was born in 1913 at the beginning of just before the beginning of World War I, and he died in 2006. the 38th president of the United States, played football in Michigan. He was one terrific athlete, a great, great athlete. I guess he did some modeling when he was young. But the reputation he had in the Congress was that he wasn't too bright. I don't think that's true, but Lyndon Johnson accused him of playing football without a helmet on. So Johnson could be pretty nasty anyway. Gerald Ford, the people who know him, work with him, says one of the nicest men you would ever meet.
Pretty decent guy.
A decent, decent man. So
not elected to the vice presidency nor the presidency.
Nope.
Held the highest two offices in the land. He wasn't elected to either one of them.
Nope, he wasn't. Gerald Ford's birthday today. Also having a birthday today is Pete Meitzner, Sedgwick County Commissioner.
He was duly elected to office.
He was duly elected a couple of times. And he's in office right now.
Yes.
And, of course, when he was chairman of the board, we had him on with Steve and Ted every Tuesday morning for two years. 2 years. Yeah. And Pete's having a birthday today, and he's we enjoy his company whenever he's around. Happy birthday to Pete Meitzner.
And I think he's a listener. I believe he is.
I got a note here from a listener. An email just came down moments ago from Randy Simon. Who's Randy Simon? Well, this is one of the people with Freddy's. Freddy's frozen custard and steak burger. And he said he heard us wishing Dave Dahl a happy birthday, but we didn't hear Boyd's birthday. He's talking about Steve Boyd, who is a friend of mine going back to grade school. It looks like his Freddie's grandson, Ben Simon, is the person behind Wichita Brewing Company. I did not know that. And pizza and beer made here. Anyway, he's talking about a nice day. And Alice and I enjoy listening to your show on the iPad when we get to drive to the lake in Missouri.
How about that?
Anyway, Steve Boyd is a friend, as I said, going back to grade school. I just have to tell you quickly that he and I spent a lot of time sitting on the bench together and basketball in 7th and 8th grade. We got into about one game each year. So we spent a lot of time sitting on the bench and telling each other stories.
Well, yeah, there's a bond you can't break.
And telling jokes to each other. And Steve, when he was at West with me, he became the guy who made up all the names for people, taking advantage of their characteristics, and he made up pet names for them. I can't go into them.
Well, that's what you're doing when you're sitting at the end of the bench. Yeah. You got to do something.
He's a stockbroker now, and he's done quite well. He's a good guy. Played a little football with him, a little basketball, and softball. So there you go. His dad was a doctor out on the west side, and his brother Dave, and was an athlete as well. So I've known Steve a long, long time. 7:15, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And as we said earlier, Dave Dahl having a birthday, Pete Meitzner. Dave Dahl, of course, the former judge here in Sedgwick County and the color voice of the Wichita State University basketball broadcast. Every year for how many years did you say? 40-some?
I think it's Mike? 40. Somewhere around 44 or 45 years now for Mike Kennedy and Dave Dahl as a broadcasting team.
Terrific.
Longest running tandem in the nation, I believe.
In the nation, you bet.
Doing college basketball games.
7:17, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward. Ted.
All right, we'll go up to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City yesterday. The Royals and the New York Mets finishing things up before the All-Star break with an afternoon game. 22,000 at the game at Kauffman Stadium. Close. The Royals had a 2-0 lead, but the Mets tied it in the ninth inning. What would happen in the bottom of the ninth? Well, the Royals were able to piece some offense together, trying to avoid a 3-game sweep. The action on FanDuel Sports Network.
Don't get caught looking. Locked in.
And picked up himself for misjudging a ball there in the ninth to allow the Mets to get back in it.
All right, coming off the bench, left fielder for the Royals, Nick Lofton, get the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth. The Royals win it 3-2 to avoid that sweep. Starting pitching for the Royals is fantastic. The rookie left-hander, Noah Cameron went 6 2/3 innings of scoreless work, 8 strikeouts. Nice. Hey, the Royals get a win heading into the All-Star break. Kansas City now with a record of 47-50, 97 games into the season heading into the break. Let's go to minor league baseball. The Wichita Wind Surge had a rough end before the All-Star break, losing 7-3 to San Antonio yesterday on a hot day downtown at Equity Bank Park. I went to the game. 5,300 fans on hand. Great crowd on a Sunday afternoon, but Wichita 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, and Wichita loses 5 in a row heading into the All-Star break. Now 9-9 in the second half. 2 games behind for a playoff spot into the All-Star break for the Wind Surge, who have the next 4 days off. Yesterday was the first 3 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft, and the Royals had 5 picks among those first 3 rounds. The first player the Royals took at number 23 overall, a position player, Sean Gamble, 19-year-old out of a prep academy in Florida, who is committed to Vanderbilt. The Royals feel they'll be able to get him signed with a lot of money coming his way. Then the Royals next took a prep infielder who is committed to Wake Forest. Then 3 pitchers in a row. A right-handed pitcher from Tulane, a lefty from Texas A&M, and a right-handed high school pitcher from California who is committed to Arizona. All right, so there's your first 5 players drafted by the Royals. Today the draft will finish with rounds 4-20. Final 17 rounds of the draft today. That starts at 10:30 this morning. Tennis. We have finished up the men's portion of things at Wimbledon.
Wimbledon was the second straight major final between Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz, following their 5.5-hour classic at the French Open, which Alcaraz won. Alcaraz also entered as a 2-time defending tournament champ and winner of the last 5 head-to-head meetings. While he won the first set, it was all Sinner after that. The Italian winning the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th for his first career Wimbledon title and 4th career major, while also avenging that loss at the French, where he blew a 2-sets-to-none lead.
We tried to accept the loss and just kept working, and this is for sure one of the reasons why I hold this trophy here.
Courtesy of Wimbledon. And one more major left this year, the U.S. Open. Sinner, the defending champion there. Greg Thompson, Fox News.
Go back to baseball. Yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds at home hosting the Colorado Rockies. Once again, former Wichita Wind Surge infielder Spencer Steer continuing to get it done for the Reds on the FanDuel Sports Network.
Right side, base hit. Alley scores 4-2 Reds.
Spencer Steer with the big hit. Reds win it 4-2. Back-to-back wins for the Reds. Going into the All-Star break, Spencer Steer continues to come through for the Reds, the former Wind Surge infielder. The Reds are 2.5 games back for a playoff spot in the National League. A couple of birthdays today. How about Sean Smith, the former Kansas City Chiefs cornerback? 38 years old today. Good player, but only spent 3 years with the Chiefs. Had a lot of legal and off-field issues. Good player, though. Former Chiefs defensive back Sean Smith. It's his birthday. He's 38 today. And staying with the Chiefs, happy birthday to the Chiefs place kicker. Harrison Butker is 30 years old today. Led the NFL in scoring in 2019. Got himself 3 Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs. Pretty good for a player that the Chiefs got off of the Carolina Panthers practice squad. That was one of the great moves of all time for the Chiefs. Harrison Butker kicked the longest field goal in Super Bowl history, a 57-yarder for the Chiefs. Most field goals in Super Bowl history, Harrison Butker with 9. He is the most accurate kicker in the NFL among all active kickers. He makes nearly 89% of his field goals. And he's even better in the postseason. In the playoffs, he kicks 90% accuracy field goals, 96% extra points. Once again, the Chiefs got him off the Carolina Panthers practice squad. Pretty good job for the Chiefs there. Their great place kicker, Harrison Butker, it's his birthday. He is 30 today. That's sports brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. And brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, proud to serve veterans that served our nation. And that's located in Northeast Wichita. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
722 now. Keep it here for House Call for Health. A new kid's toy carries a message. Traffic and weather coming up. Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve Atkinsars, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Monday morning, July 14th, 69 degrees. Congress looks to codify the cuts from the Department of Government Efficiency.
The Senate is expecting a vote this week on the White House request to cut $9.4 billion in foreign aid and public broadcasting. President Trump putting pressure on some Republicans concerned about cuts to public broadcasting, saying on Truth Social, quote, any Republican that votes to allow this monstrosity to continue broadcasting will not have my support or endorsement. A rescissions request has to come from the White House and can pass with a simple majority in both chambers. GOP members with issues say public broadcasting can be a major tool for rural communities during severe weather events. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Last week, the Sedgwick County Commission got a look at the proposed budget for the coming year. County Manager Tom Stoles tells KNSS News what citizens are concerned about.
We have this discussion every year, the role of government. What should we be in? What should we be out of? I think most taxpayers are concerned about safety and public safety and roads, you know, what we call the mission critical operations of government in general, city or county or state. They care about fire and police. They care about roads. They care about water.
The county commission will approve the budget coming up next month. Tom Stoles was our guest yesterday here on KNSS on Issues 2025.
Lawmakers toured the Alligator Alcatraz prison facility Saturday.
Democrats and Republicans have very different takes from their visit of Alligator Alcatraz. The state's Division of Emergency Management led this tour, which Democrats say was sanitized. Still, they say what they did see was horrific. They say 900 men are in the migrant detention center held in cage-like units with 32 people in each cell. They're complaining about the temperature, which they say was in the mid-80s, and they're calling the facility a wasteful political stunt. Republicans say Democrats are on the wrong side of immigration as they misrepresent the conditions at Alligator Alcatraz.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting.
The state of Kansas recently passed a law that forbids the use of foreign money for political campaigns. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach joined the John Whitmer Show reacting to a win in court last week upholding that law.
You can't take foreign money and spend foreign money, you know, buying TV and radio ads in Kansas. And it's perfectly legal for the state legislature to do so. And we defended that law and we just won against the plaintiffs who are claiming that that law violates their rights. It's the very essence of self-determination. We in America get to decide our own government for ourselves. And someone from another country cannot come in and spend millions of dollars trying to change what we in Kansas decide we the people want in our Constitution. And the legislature passed a very good statute, and we had success in defending it.
Chris Kobach was a guest last evening on the John Whitmer Show here on KNSS.
Now look at the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Sunny skies this morning, then just a few clouds this afternoon, a light southeast breeze under 10 and a high of 90. Becoming clear, overnight low 70. Sunshine and then a few clouds on Tuesday, stronger south winds 10 to 20, high 92. 95 on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, could see a few storms on Wednesday night, better chance of storms on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Yeah, we have a clear sky, calm, no wind, and 69 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:33, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. It's time for Mondays with the Mayor, and Wichita Mayor Lily Wu is usually with us, of course, but this morning, Vice Mayor J.B. Johnston is with us. Good morning, J.B.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fine. How's your summer going so far? You getting to play any golf or any? What do you do in the summertime to relax?
I play a lot of golf.
Do you really?
A lot of golf. I do.
But yeah, I thought about something the other. What our golf course? How many we have public golf courses in Wichita? Do you know?
Four city-owned golf courses.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do they stack?
Auburn Hills. Yeah.
How do they stack up against other golf courses? I don't know. I don't know anything about golf.
You know, a few years ago, they were in really, really bad shape. But Jesse Kaufman's come in, and he and his team have really, really turned them around, and they're looking good. We've got new sprinkler systems for all of them. Sims is in. McDonald's is going in this fall, and then the other two will follow. So they're getting better and better.
And it brings up an interesting point there about water and the water restrictions that we have are going to be in place for a while. Tell us about that. How does that work?
Well, they are. It's the 12-month rolling average of Lake Cheney. It hits a certain spot. It's got to get above that. Lake Cheney's only about a half a foot below normal now. Me personally, I think this is a good time that we could take those restrictions off and maybe go to every other day watering permanently. It's not good to water your grass every day.
All right. Well, I don't ever water mine at all.
You don't have to mow it that way, right?
No, I do mow it, but it doesn't usually require much. Frankly, here it's going to start drying out and turning brown pretty soon. But for now, I got my lawn looking pretty good, I think. So I'm proud of that.
That's good.
Budget time. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow. Will the meeting be? Will you talk about the budget at tomorrow's meeting?
We will. The city manager will present the budget again. See where we're at. Still plenty of time for people to have input on the budget. And the big thing is, do we go revenue neutral? Do we do increase of maybe what inflation and new builds, or do we take the full advantage of the valuation increases for property? So right now we're looking at about a half a mil reduction. That's not a lot, but I think it's going in the right direction anyway.
All right. I see here that you're going to talk about the 29th and Broadway reconstruction, that intersection. I was up there the other day. What needs to be reconstructed? Is that the one that goes across the railroad tracks?
It is. It okay. is. And it is kind of a mess right now. And there's been a lot of accidents there. So they want to redo it. There's no turn lines. They want to put some turn lanes in, which would be good.
I noticed that not just the city streets, but a lot of streets in town are. I'm seeing a lot of potholes. I'm sorry, but and I know it's a never ending deal. But boy, I see a lot of them.
Well, I tell you what, if you see a pothole, it'll get fixed usually within 24 hours. If you just go on the city website, click fix, put it where that pothole is. If you can download a picture of it, that's great. If you can't, that's okay. But just give them the location of the pothole, and the city crews are really good. They'll get out and fix that pothole right away, but they got to know about it. So turn it in on our website and clickfix.com, and we'll get her filled up.
Some of these parking lots are in pretty sad shape, because that's private property. I understand that. But
it is. Yeah, that's not us.
That's not us. That's not city. Okay. Crown Uptown. Will it be put on city's historical registry? Is that a done deal or not?
Well, no, it's not a done deal. It's a classic example of wanting to restore or preserve a historic property versus property rights. So we'll see what happens on that. I voted against it last time, and we'll see what happens this time.
And, of course, the owner is not too pleased about it. He doesn't want it to be a historical registry, right?
He does not. He does not. There's come some bad blood between some people in the area and him and what he wanted to do with it originally. So
wanted to expand it and get more people in there, and the neighbor said, "Wait a minute." So yeah, it's interesting.
What is the difference between the vote that was taken prior and tomorrow's vote?
What's the difference? The vote tomorrow, it's going to take five votes in the affirmative to put it on the historical register because he objected to it. So it'll go from four votes to five votes, which is two-thirds the council.
Okay.
So how people vote. You never know how people vote till they vote.
Okay. What else is on the agenda? Anything you want to talk about this morning?
The College Hill Master Plan's on there in that same neighborhood. So I started reading that yesterday, and I ended up just skimming it because it's a very, very thick document. It's good, but it's a good roadmap for College Hill, that neighborhood, and to preserve it and to keep it up. So that's on there too.
All right.
Another neighborhood that's seen some pretty nice rehabilitation over the last 10 years.
It is. It is. That neighborhood's been kept up very well, and they were given the demographics on that. There's a higher level of education in that neighborhood. There's just a lot of good demographics in that neighborhood. People really care about it. The number of people that showed up to the meetings was phenomenal. Over 150 at the meeting, so that's a big crowd.
And one thing to really help that neighborhood is if you would get some sort of a statue or memorial to the childhood home of Ted Woodward over there.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
Somebody would probably just steal it, though, so maybe shouldn't do that.
Yeah, that'll be the smallest TIF district in world history.
That'll be it for you. All right. JV, thank you for being with us. And it's a regular time, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on that meeting.
Yeah, regular clock time, 9 o'clock. Yep, I'll be running it since the mayor's out of town, so I'll probably struggle through it, but we'll get through it.
Is he going anyplace exciting, or do we know?
Am I going anyplace exciting?
No, the mayor. Did she go to some?
Oh, the mayor. Yeah, she's going to New York City.
Oh, okay.
She's going to. It's really a neat conference. I think it's put on by Harvard. It's for mayors and governors and things like that. Teach them how to govern. So. I'm sure she'll learn something, and a good opportunity for her.
Very good. All right. We thank you for being with us this morning. Appreciate it, JV.
Steve, thanks.
Vice Mayor JV Johnston with Steve and Ted in the morning. Monday's with the mayor, but it's Monday's with the vice mayor this time around. 7:41, Steve and Ted coming up. We've got Kirk Seminoff with the Wichita Business Journal update. Twin Lakes Shopping Center has a new owner.
Oh.
That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted of the Morning, KNSS, 7:45 on this Monday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Nationwide gas prices down 9 cents over the past 2 weeks to an average of $3.22 a gallon.
Two.
41-year-old man dead after a hit and run in West Wichita.
One.
Three people dead, including the shooter at a Lexington, Kentucky church. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
The traffic volume's still fairly high out there. Watch for it to cause some slowdowns. Got a stalled out vehicle southbound I-135 right around 1st and 2nd Street. We've got another one northbound between Harry and Lincoln. But the slowest traffic I'm seeing still in that road construction on that very narrow ramp. Northbound I-235 over at eastbound K-96. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 90 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 68. And then on Tuesday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 92 degrees. Now we have a clear sky, calm, no wind, 69 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The weather is brought to you by the Monarch on West Douglas in historic Delano. Updated patios, landscaping is thanks to Johnson's Garden Center. It's a patio, a great place to spend a lunchtime or dinner time or just hanging out with your friends. Check it out, the Monarch, 579 West Douglas, at the roundabout in historic Delano. Residents in rural Maine are on edge after a paddle boarder is found dead.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The death of a paddle boarder near a campground in rural Maine is being investigated as a homicide, and police are asking the public for help finding the killer. The body of 48-year-old Sunshine Stewart was found by state game wardens around 1 a.m. July 3rd near 100 Acre Island. It's a nature preserve on Crawford Pond in Union, Maine, only accessible by water. Stewart lived about a half hour from the pond, and police say she went paddleboarding between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. the night before and never returned home. The manner of death was ruled a homicide, but the cause of death was not initially released to the public. The killing has ignited fear within the local community as authorities have not yet named a suspect in the mysterious murder, and residents are already paranoid about the possibility of a serial killer lurking within the New England region following a series of unexplained deaths in recent months. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Wall Street ended the week on a down note Friday.
Stocks closing out the week in the red on escalating tariff tensions after President Trump said that he would raise levies on many imported goods from Canada to 35%, which is 10% higher than what he first imposed months ago. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said that he will keep working toward a new trade framework with the U.S. The Dow winners, McDonald's, Microsoft, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, American Express, Visa, and Salesforce. The Dow falling 279 points, the Nasdaq lower by 45, S&P 500 down 21. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Twin Lakes Shopping Center has a new owner. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update here on this Monday morning with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, a national commercial real estate investor known for revitalizing struggling commercial properties has acquired Twin Lakes Shopping Center at 21st and Amadon. An affiliate of Monami Real Estate purchased the large retail center this month with plans to revamp it and fill the remaining spaces with a variety of tenants, including small local businesses. Twin Lakes and its 193,000 square feet were on the market for $7.7 million, but the final sale price wasn't disclosed. Monami says Twin Lakes is currently 55% occupied, and the new buyer is working with Wichita's Reese Nichols South Central Kansas for leasing unoccupied spaces. The general contractor for Dillon's has pulled a $1.3 million building permit for an overhaul of the Harry and Webb location in southeast Wichita. A Dillon's spokesperson says the renovation will create an easier-to-navigate shopping experience with particular upgrades in produce, floral, and deli. Work will be completed this fall. At the same time, a similar project is taking place at the Dillon's located at 31st Street South and Seneca. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
I'll tell you, when Twin Lakes Shopping Center was built and opened back in the 60s, it was considered a very fine place to go shopping. I mean, they had that nice lake right there. You had the apartments on the other side and some nice stores in there, including Sears store. You had a Henry's store in there, Henry's clothing store, McLeod's, McDonald's. Not McLeod's, but McDonald's was in there.
A movie theater.
A movie theater, mm-hmm. Right. And
it was big time.
Of course, that's my neighborhood where Shelley and I have lived all these years. And Shelley, my wife, actually worked for McDonald's, which was a clothing store there. She worked for Sears for a while. So, yeah, she worked several places there. And then she worked for Fidelity Savings, which had a store in the parking lot there. So, yeah, it's a neat little place. They've always, now and then on the island, they have an eagle or two, don't they, Ted? I think
yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good to see some. They're going to be doing some things with that. See it coming back. Today is National Mac and Cheese Day, also known as National Macaroni and Cheese Day. Kraft may be the first thing that comes to mind when you think of mac and cheese, for good reason. The company has been dishing out delight in the form of a box since 1937. But the origins of the creamy casserole can be traced back hundreds of years to Italy, where pasta and Parmesan have been a staple meal for centuries. There you go. You a big fan of
huge
mac and cheese?
Oh, yeah. It's the ultimate comfort food.
How about it, Kirk?
You know, I never was as a kid, but then making it for my daughter when she was younger, 20 years ago, I kind of got into it myself, but not before then.
Yeah, it says here it's the king of comfort foods. Is that right, Ted? You mentioned comfort food, huh? Okay. My wife makes a terrific mac and cheese. She doesn't make it for me. She only makes it for the grandkids. So I don't know if she's got any secret ingredients or what, but, you know, the grandkids are always asking for it, but she never gives me any. What am I going to do? I guess I'll have to get a box and fix it myself. Mac and cheese. All right, Kirk.
See, I'm not talking about box being comfort food. Box mac and cheese is just junk.
Yeah.
Chemicals. I'm talking about homemade. You make homemade, real macaroni and cheese. There's your comfort food.
Well, you can make some in the microwave, can't you?
Well, it's not the same.
Not as good.
Nope.
All right. How was your weekend, Kirk? Do anything exciting?
We did nothing exciting, and that probably was the best part. We got to lounge around and do stuff around the house, but not much, no.
I'll tell you what, that's just kind of what we did. Although Saturday, I knew that rain was coming. I got out and got my lawn mowed and trimmed just as quickly as I could so I could get there. And then it didn't rain for several hours. We got about a half inch of rain over there in Riverside where I live, but it was a nice little rain there for a little bit. But
I will say the one thing I did do before the rain was disassemble a huge trampoline by myself. And I think that's, you know, a trampoline that's been sitting in our backyard for 10 years and probably the last 5 years hasn't been used at all. And I thought that was going to be a pain in the butt to take apart, but it really wasn't. I'm a little bit proud of myself.
So you took it, and then what did you do with
the... Yeah, where is it now?
Yeah, I'm going to have somebody cart all the stuff off.
All right.
Did you build the trampoline yourself years ago or what?
It was a three-person job, and I think, as I said at the time, 98 springs and 98 swear words.
yeah, at least. So can you do any tricks on trampoline, like flips or anything like that?
Oh, no, you don't want to see me on a trampoline, Steve.
Oh, okay. That's good. I was. I just bounce up and down. And I couldn't do any tricks. I was scared to death. Yeah. Trampolines. Okay.
Isn't it amazing when you do nothing on the weekend how quickly Monday rolls around?
Yeah. I hate that. I wish weekends were 3 days. Can we get that passed by law or something?
Yeah, let's get our politicians to work on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning with Steve and Ted. Stay with us. We're going to talk about that shooting in Kentucky. Three people killed in that shooting, and Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
Yeah, the Kansas City Royals have picked their first five new players in the Major League Baseball draft. I'll tell you about who those folks are, coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news. We have the Blur coming up, too.
Oh, yes. We'll get you coming out of the weekend. We'll get you all your entertainment news you need. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And back to work, traffic, and weather. Stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.